Hey, thanks again for listening. We wanted to remind you about the Indiana Bible College live date coming up February 2nd, 2018. You can visit gotoibc.com/IBC Live for those tickets. We look forward to seeing you at IBC Live. Today in our chapel series, we are going to have a message preached by a student, Nate Matthews, entitled The Demise of a Deliverer.
Speaking to my peers and thanking Brother Galleon for giving me the opportunity, allowing me the opportunity. And I'll just get right into the word. We're going to be taking our text this morning from the book of Judges, chapter 13, and then we will skip to Judges 16. While you're turning there, though, I just want to thank a couple more people. I have some family in the crowd today that showed up and took time out of their schedule to come see me. My grandparents, a.k.a. Maintenance Brother Turner and Kitchen Sister Turner. And my Aunt Shell is here as well. So I love y'all and appreciate y'all for coming to hear me. And God's blessed me with a great family. Every time I see my grandparents, they tell me they're praying for me. Every time. I covet their prayers, and I love them very much. So we will start in verse 1 of Judges chapter 13. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Skipping to verse 5, it says, For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And skipping to chapter 16, verse 21, it says, But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach to you on the subject, the demise of a deliverer. The demise of a deliverer. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Luke. So a little context about Judges. In this passage of scripture, the whole book of Judges, it's a bad time in Israel's history. Israel was God's chosen people, but after the death of Joshua, Israel began to do what was right in their own eyes. They began to give in to their sins, into their lust, into their temptations, and it started a horrible cycle of sin. They would get into idolatry. They would worship the false gods of the lands they were in, and God would have enough, and so he would deliver them to an oppressor. He would raise up someone to come against them, and he would deliver them into their hands, and they would be put in slavery. They would be put in bondage by these people, and it would get so bad that eventually the children of Israel would cry out to God again. Eventually they would repent, they would cry out to God, and God would hear their prayers, and so God would raise up a judge or a deliverer for them, and then they would go into a time of peace, a time of faithfulness for a few short years, and then the cycle would repeat. The judge would die or whatever, and then the cycle would repeat. They would go back into bondage, back into sin, because they would begin to worship false idols again. So this brings us to the story of Samson in Judges 13 through 16. And I'm just going to give you a brief overview of the story. I know we all know it, but I just want to hit a few main points before we get into it. And so in Judges 13, an angel comes to Manoah and his wife. And even though she's barren and she can't have children, the angel tells him that they're going to have a child and that this child is going to have a major calling on his life of being a judge of Israel, one of the most powerful men of Israel. And that from his birth, he is to be devoted to a Nazarite vow. Now, usually a Nazarite vow, people would take it on for a short time, a short season. But in this case, the angel told him that Samson was to be a Nazarite vow from birth until his death. And so this was no ordinary man. This was a called out man, judge of Israel. And he was called, and the angel also said in Judges 13 that he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then in Judges 14, this is where we start to see the demise of Samson. In Judges 14, it says that Samson sees a woman in Timnath and desires to marry her. And this is where we get the first look into what brings Samson to his demise. And so he sees this woman, which is a Philistine woman, which is not someone he should be with. And at the wedding feast Samson prepared, he puts forth a riddle to the Philistines for kind of like a bet. If you get it right, I have to give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And but if you don't get it, then I get that from you. And he gave this bet to some Philistine men there. And it was a seven-day feast. And his wife ends up telling the Philistines the answer. And so this angers Samson. And he goes down to the city of Ashkelon, if I'm pronouncing that right. And he kills 30 Philistine men. So already we see the selfish tendencies of Samson. He gets himself into trouble. And he uses the spirit and the power of God that he's been blessed with to his own advantage and for his own purpose. In Judges 15... it continues the same story. This is when Samson finds out that while he left in his anger from the feast when he found out that his wife had given him the answer. And so he leaves in anger. And when he returns, he finds out that the father of his wife had given her to another man while he was gone because he thought he hated her so much that he wouldn't want to be with her. So you can imagine the anger that Samson experiences now when he gets back to find out that his wife was given to someone else. And so this is where we see him go, and he catches 300 foxes. He puts firebrands between them and burns down the corn, the vineyards, and the olives of the Philistines. And and this angered the Philistines. And so in retaliation, they went and they burnt Samson's wife and her father with fire. And Samson, in response, smote them with a great slaughter, the Bible says. And then after this, it's just back and forth. Samson continues to operate in his selfishness. He continues to operate and use this power to his own gain. And then, so after this, the Philistines, they realize that they cannot come against Samson. He's too great of a man for them. And so the Philistines go to the men of Judah, which were the Israelites there, and they ask them to deliver Samson to them because they know they just can't do it on their own, and maybe he'll listen to some of his own people. And so it's intriguing to me. It just kind of shows us how powerful Samson really was. And I believe it got to his head at some point, but 3,000 men of Judah came to bind Samson. 3,000 for one man. And when they delivered them to the Philistines, there was 1,000 trained Philistines waiting for him. And the Bible says that the Philistines shouted against him, which means the verbiage there literally means that they came with a war cry, a war chant. There was 1,000 Philistines ready to go to war to capture one man. That just shows you how powerful Samson was. And then Samson breaks free from his bonds, and he kills all 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. And then we get to the last chapter of Samson, and in chapter 16, once again we see that Samson's eyes are betraying him, and he sees a harlot in Gaza, and he goes in unto her. And then the Philistines of Gaza, they learn that Samson's there, and so they decide to camp out at the city, at the gate of the city, in an effort to ambush him and kill him. And then Samson arises at midnight, and he takes the doors of the gate and the two posts, bar and all. He puts them on his shoulders, and he brings them up a hill near Hebron. Now, this is that from Gaza to Hebron is around 30 to 35 miles. So he's carrying the gates of a city up a hill around 30 to 35 miles. Just another example of how powerful Samson really was and the power that God had given him. After this, we come across where Samson begins to love Delilah. She is persuaded by the lords of the Philistines with silver to convince Samson to tell her the source of his strength. Samson begins to toy with her, and he keeps giving her false answers. He's just messing. He thinks it's just a game. And eventually Samson does tell Delilah the source of his strength. The Bible says she vexed him unto death, is how much she bothered him about it. And during this time, this is when Samson is shaven during the night and bound, and his eyes are plucked out, and he is made to grind in the prison house, which is usually the job of an animal. And so I just kind of want to preach along these lines that Samson was created to be a deliverer of Israel. That was his calling. He was specifically designed for that purpose. And yet his selfish decisions led him to be bound, broken, and blind into a prison house of the Philistines. This was not God's intent for Samson's life, and God had called him out to do greater. And so I just kind of want to relate our lives to that today because I believe this passage of Scripture can speak to us, because I believe that everybody in this room is also called for a certain purpose, and we're all created for a certain calling. And so I just want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the demise of a deliverer. And so Samson had a few issues that led to his demise, and the first of which I want to hit is the lust of his eyes. We begin to see this in Judges 14. In verse 1, it says he saw a woman. In verse 2, it says, I have seen a woman. And in verse 3, it says, for she pleaseth me well, which can be translated to, she was right in his eyes. We also see it in Judges 16, verse 1, where it says, he saw therein harlot. Samson was more concerned with what was pleasing to his eye than what was pleasing to God. And he began to put his plan over God's plan. He was more concerned with fulfillment in the flesh than fulfillment in the spirit. He wanted to pursue his own plan, his own ideas, whatever they might be, and instead of pursuing the plan that God had on his life. In Judges 16, verse 4, it mentions that Samson began to love Delilah. It was interesting to me how this is the first time it ever mentions that Samson loved anything. And he loved her so much, maybe, that this is the first woman even mentioned in the story. His own mother was not even named. And it just spoke to me that Samson got so used to looking at the things of the world and desiring the things of the world that he began to love the things of the world. In 1 John 2:15, 16, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world." God had called Samson for a purpose, but Samson was too focused on pleasure. And I want to relate this to us today because we've got to give our temptations over to God. We don't have time to get distracted by what we think's best for us and what we think's gonna, what we want. But we've got to focus on the things of God. We need to crucify the flesh and what appeals to our eye. And not only lust of the flesh, not only like looking on someone or whatever, but future plans, I mean, things that may lead you down a path that lead you away from God. It doesn't have to be inherently bad, but it can be something that just takes you away from God and his purpose for your life. We got to be careful not to allow our fleshly vision to become more powerful than our spiritual vision. And the second thing I want to point out from these scriptures is that Samson began to lose sight of the source of his strength. I found it interesting that every time Samson was used by God in these scriptures, the Spirit came upon him without him asking God for it, or without the Bible even making mention of the Spirit. In Judges 14, verse 6, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him," or it can be translated to, "it fell upon him." In 14, verse 19, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." In 15, verse 14, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him." And 16, verse 3, with the doors of the gate, it doesn't even mention the Spirit at all. And with the foxes, it doesn't mention the Spirit at all. And so I believe that Samson, he obviously didn't have a great relationship with God because we know how the story ends, but I believe because God continued, God's Spirit was still there, he still had the power that God had given him, that Samson was abusing the power God had given him, that he began to believe that it was his own power, and he could do it of his own might and of his own accord. He didn't realize that God was providing this power for him. We see this evident in Judges 16, verse 20. This is when he's told Delilah of the source of his power, and at the end of that verse, she tells him that the Philistines are upon him, and he says, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." But the Bible already says that the Spirit was gone from him. He knew not that it was gone. And so he didn't even know the Lord had departed from him. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I mess up or I make a mistake in my covenant with God, I can feel a difference. I know there's something there. The Spirit's not there like it used to be. And so this kind of goes to show that Samson didn't really have a relationship with God. He wasn't close to God. He didn't realize that the Spirit was even there. And it just kind of further proves the point that he began to believe this power was his own. But I've come to tell us this morning that we've got to realize this is not our power. This is the power of God at work in us. We've been ordained by God for a purpose, and we've been empowered by the Holy Ghost for that purpose. And we can't ever begin to believe that we're operating under our own power. This is God's anointing on our life. No matter what gifts or talents we have, we got to use them to the glory of God and not for our own glory. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that will help us set people free from sin. And the third thing I found interesting on Samson's path to demise is, I didn't follow this chronologically, but the third point is that he was born into a covenant he didn't understand. In Judges 13, verse 5, when the angel is speaking of who he should be and what he should be, at the end it says that, "For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb." And like I said earlier, usually people that took on the Nazarite vow only did it for a season, a short amount of time. But he was to be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he was born into a truth and a covenant and a reality that he didn't really understand. He was born and raised, so to speak, into a set of rules and restrictions that he never understood. And I believe that sounds like many of us today when we're maybe born into the apostolic truth and we just kind of see it as some rules, some regulations. We don't realize that it's protecting us from some things and that we've been called out to do some certain things for God's sake. But we are born into the apostolic truth sometimes without a full understanding of why we believe what we believe. And it's important that we get back into the book in these days. We got to get into the Bible and realize that we've been called by God to perform something that he's called us to do. We've got to get back on our knees in prayer. We've got to get a firm grasp on not only what we are and what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. Amen. These scriptures speak to us on the importance of a spiritual vision. In Judges 16, verse 21, Samson's been captured, and it says that they put out his eyes. And Brother Gallion mentioned this Tuesday in chapel, and it, I already had it in my notes when he mentioned it, but that Mark 9, verse 47 says, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out." And I kind of find it interesting that the Philistines did that for him. The thing Samson struggled with the most, the Philistines took away from him. And so the Philistines thought they were doing Samson a disservice, but in reality, they ended up doing themselves a disservice. They kind of sealed their own fate because it wasn't until they put out his eyes and took away his sight that Samson truly had vision. It wasn't until they took away his fleshly eyes that he could see with spiritual vision and realize that he was not following the right path. Samson wasn't able to fulfill God's plan for his life to be a judge or deliverer of Israel until his fleshly vision was taken from him and he focused on the spiritual vision and things of God. Samson was bound, broken, and blinded in a prison house, but he was called to be a deliverer of Israel. Now, some major things had to happen to get him to this place. But the things that got him there was that he continued to follow his own selfish pleasures, and it ultimately led him here. But I believe it was in this moment, Samson's grinding in a prison house, doing the job of an animal, when I believe that he had to come to a decision. He had to keep following his own selfish pleasures, which got him here, or he had to turn back to God, the source of his strength. And I believe that we too, one day, if it hasn't already happened yet, we'll find ourselves here in this place, bound, broken, and blinded in the enemy's camp. And we have to make a decision for ourselves as well. Will we continue to follow our fleshly vision and our fleshly desires, or will we let the Lord lead us to what he created us to be? And so we see here Samson's choice. In Judges 16, verse 28, it says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged for the Philistines for my two eyes." While Samson did end up being the deliverer Israel needed in that time, he went out still with his selfish desires. He wanted to be avenged, not for what they had even really done to him or what they had taken from him, but he was mad because of his eyes, the thing that they took from him that helped him get back to God. But Judges 16, verse 30, it ends with saying, "So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." And this spoke to me that he was able to do more the one time he asked God to use him and the one time he was willing to be used than the rest of his life put together. And while this may seem to be a sad story to some people believe that just Samson never fulfilled the calling he was supposed to be, it is still a story of redemption. And they hit it today with their songs, God's grace and mercy, we're so undeserving of it, but it is available to each and every one of us. And I believe it was available to Samson as well. In Judges 16, verse 22, it says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." This verse comes immediately following the verses of how he was captured. And kind of spoke to me that as soon as Samson's hair was shaven, it began to grow again. As soon as Samson left God's covenant and showed them the source of his power, God was immediately willing that Samson would go back into right relationship with him. His hair began to grow back immediately. And this Brother Gallion mentioned Tuesday this as well, how when we sin and we break covenant, we've got an obligation to repent and turn away from our sin and go and sin no more. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you've messed up, no matter what sins you may have committed, God is willing that you return to him. He wants to be back in covenant with you so that he can empower you to be who he created you to be. He wants you to fulfill the purpose he's put on your life. And so like I said, I believe that we, like Samson, are born into special covenants for today's times. I believe we are created for a special purpose. I believe we are the next generation of the apostolic movement. I have no doubt. You guys are great. Like, anytime I've talked to any of you, I'm so comforted because I know that the truth is in good hands and I know that it's not going to go anywhere and we're not going to give it up. I believe we were created for a special purpose. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So like Samson, before we were even formed in the belly, God knew us and he had a plan for our life. And I believe we are called to be a deliverer, to help deliver people from the bondage of sin and addiction, like Samson was. And like Samson, people are depending on us. I made the mistake, if you can call it that, of listening to Brother J.T. Pugh's Your First Night in Hell sermon over Thanksgiving break. If you want to be convicted, listen to that. And it just kind of spoke to me, which it's not really very related to this story in a sense, but the reality is that there's over 7 billion people in the world, and they're going to one of two places. And I believe that each of us in this room is called to be a deliverer, to help people out of the bondage of sin. And it's up to us. This is why we got to get into the book. This is why we've got to get back into the prayer room, because we've got to be who God called us to be. How else are they going to hear? How else are they going to know the truth? We've got to be who God called us to be, so that we can save people from sin and save people from hell. And so I know I've been short today. I'm coming to a close, but I just want to issue a challenge to us today, a three-tier challenge, the first of which is to put our spiritual vision over our fleshly vision. It's important that we give our plans, our dreams, and our ideas, and our temptations to God. We've got to let God lead us so that we can be who he called us to be. We don't need to be distracted by the things of the world and the things we think look pleasing to us and the things we think will fulfill us, but we need to follow our spiritual vision and the things of God. The second thing is we need to understand that this is not our power, it's not our anointing, and it's not our talent. All those things, the power that we have, the anointing we have, the talent we have, the gifts we have, they were all given to us by God. It is something that God has placed on our life, and it is important that we respect that and not use it selfishly like Samson did. We need to use them to the glory of God, not the glory of self like Samson, because it can be taken from you in a moment. And the third thing that I want to challenge us to do today is it's time that we buy into this truth and sell it not. Like Samson was, people are depending on us to help deliver them from the clutches of sin. We have been called to deliver people, and they won't hear unless we know this truth. They won't hear unless we speak it to them. We got to depend on the power of God which is in us and realize that it is not our power. And so I'm done today. If you want to stand, we'll just say a prayer in closing. And in this prayer, I just pray that we would hope God, that we would ask God to help us focus on the spiritual things, the things of God, and not the things of the world, to help our focus. And I pray that we would, I know we're in Bible college, but I know we struggle as well. And I know I hadn't bought into this truth when I came here. IBC is the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's the thing that helped me find my walk with God. And so I know that I imagine I'm not the only one that's come that way as well. And so I just want to challenge us to pray and ask God to help us buy into this truth now, once and for all, so that we can fulfill the purpose and the calling that he has created us for. So if we could just lift our hands and pray and ask God to do those things for us today.
IBC Live is quickly filling up. You can purchase your ticket if you're able to come at gotoibc.com/live. Or if you're not, you can watch it the night of at the same address, gotoibc.com/live, and we'll live stream that service. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at IBC Live.